Please open your Bibles, if you will, to the Old Testament, to the prophecies of Isaiah, as we will read from Isaiah chapter 45, the verses 9 through 25. You may find that in your pew Bible, page 645. Isaiah chapter 45, beginning at verse 9, hear God's holy and inspired word. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what are you begetting? Or to the woman, what have you brought forth? Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask of me things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands you command me. I have made the earth and created man on it. My hands stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts I have commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city and let my exiles go free. Not for price nor reward, says the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord, the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Cush and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over to you, and they shall be yours. They shall walk behind you. They shall come over in chains, and they shall bow down to you. They will make supplication to you, saying, surely God is in you, and there is no other. There is no other God. Truly, you are God who hide yourself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also disgraced, all of them. They shall go in confusion together, who are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed or disgraced forever and ever. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, you who have escaped from the nations. They have no knowledge, who carry the wood of their carved image and pray to a God that cannot save. Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no other God besides me. A just God and a Savior, there is none besides me. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. He shall say, surely, in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come, and all shall be ashamed who are incensed against him. In the Lord all the descendants of Israel shall be justified and shall glory. So far then, the reading of God's holy word. The text is to be found here in this passage, Isaiah 45, and then as we read this in the verses, in verse 22 rather. Verse 22 of Isaiah 45, where God himself says, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. So far, then, the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, why should we, you and I, listen to God? Why should we listen to God, boys and girls? What is so special about what God has to say? What makes His word so much more important than your or my word? Well, that can be stated very briefly. It is because the word of God and what God has to say is conducive for to your and my salvation, your and my eternal joy. And that is why we have to listen to what God has to say. And we have it right here in the text in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. Because this is what God has to say to you and to me this morning hour, when He says, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for there is no God but me. Or you could also say, for I am God. And that's really what He says, for I am God and no other. Now, no man could ever say a thing like that and make it happen. However, the problem is that you and I, by nature, don't want to listen to what God has to say. And I say it by nature. If we do hear what He has to say, then we very easily forget half or more of half of it, perhaps even all of it. We forget it easily. We hear, but we don't really respond as we should, or we hear, and we twist what we hear to make it sound like something different. We hear, and we question the truth of what He has to say. The example, of course, is given to us already at the early part in the book of Genesis, when Satan came up to Eve and said, did God say? In other words, is that really what He said? And Satan said this, in order to cause confusion in the heart and mind of Eve and to, as it were, stimulate doubts in what God has said. We know also that this world really has no interest in what God has to say whatsoever. In fact, the world does not even want to hear God speak at all. And this same world has tried, and to a certain degree has succeeded then as well, to silence God altogether. We may be thankful, however, that as we are here in church this morning, we may still hear the Word of God read, and through the Word hear God speak to us. But my point this hour is to inform you that what God has to say is of crucial importance for you and for me, because if you do want to experience the peace of forgiveness and the joy of salvation and the hope of eternal life, dear people, then you have to listen to what God has to say to you this hour. And of course, the response to it is very important as well. In our text chapter, it is God speaking. Yes, it's true that Isaiah has to write down these words for us, and so we can read it. But in reality, it is God speaking, and He is speaking to us. And if you would read that whole chapter, Isaiah 45, you will notice that no less than 29 times God says, I will, I am, I give, I work, I have, I, time and time again, it is I. You see, God is speaking powerfully in this particular chapter. And when God comes across in this way, dear people, then we, you and I, had better listen, because it is very important to what he has to say. Very important, in fact. He has something very special to say to you and to me, young and old today especially. And then, what is it then that God has to say to us, to you and to me? It's right here in our text. Look to me and be saved. And that's the theme for this hour as well. Look to me, so says God, and be saved. I want to consider that with you in three ways. First of all, spoken by God who identifies himself. Secondly, spoken by God who is trustworthy. And then thirdly, spoken by God who is exclusive. Now, congregation, the God who says this actually shows us his credentials, so to speak. He identifies himself. And his identity truly is awesome. And here we have to look at the context as well, in where the text is placed. And in the context we find, for instance, in verse 18, that he identifies as the God who has created the heavens and the earth. He identifies himself as the one who has formed and has made the earth and has established it. Now that in itself is already awesome. He identifies himself as the creator with a purpose. And then the question is, well, what is that purpose that God has created the heavens and the earth in order that both heaven and earth will be inhabited? That's what he says here as well. So that whatever he has created will serve him in praise and in glory. Well, with those kinds of credentials, God has therefore also the right to speak to you and to me, doesn't he? And he has the right to demand that we, who are inhabitants of the earth, that we listen to him. And his credentials have stood the test of time, hasn't it? They continue to show that what he has said is true. God, after all, has created the heavens and the earth. God has established the earth, and he has placed you and me upon this earth. In other words, with these credentials already, God has the highest and he has the supreme authority to speak to us, and he can therefore demand that we listen to him. He can demand this. And so he says, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. Look to me, he says, as it were, as the authoritative creator and maker. I, after all, have created you. No, you did not inhabit this earth by way of evolution from some slime through bacteria and low life, and then gradually into something else that looked like a being of sorts, into a human being, as we are now. Satan would like to have you believe that, and sad to say, he has convinced a large part of the population of this world of that as well. No, but God says, I have created you. And boys and girls, hang on to that word. God has created man. It did not come by way of evolution in any more sort. And therefore, and now I'm addressing the boys and girls especially, therefore God also says in his word, you can read of that in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, remember now your creator. Remember now your creator in the days of your youth. And that means that you are to remember him and you are to listen to him as well. He has something very, very important to say to you this hour as your creator when he says, look to me and be saved. Now, boys and girls, you listen to your parents, don't you? I trust you do. You listen to your teachers, don't you? Yes, you do. You listen to others who are in authority over you. And that is why you have to listen, because they are in authority over you put over you by God, you see. Well, now, God is the highest authority. And when he speaks, it is best for you and me to respond as young Samuel once responded. You can read of that in 1 Samuel 3:9. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And what you can hear from God this hour is very simple. Look to me and be saved. You want to be saved from your sin? You want to have a future that has joy and delight, that has the promise of eternity? God says, look to me and be saved. Now, boys and girls, I want to repeat a story of a young man who was in his early teenage years and how he got saved. This young man's name was Charles. Today we would call him Chuck. And here are his own words. I'm going to read. I've been wandering about, seeking rest and finding none, till a plain, unlettered lay preacher among the primitive Methodists stood up in the pulpit and gave out this passage as his text. Look to me and be saved. He had not much to say, thank God, for that compelled him to keep on repeating his text. Look to me and be saved. That's all you have to do. A child can look. Then, stopping, he pointed where I was sitting under the gallery, and he said, that young man there looks very miserable. I expect I did, for that is how I felt. Then he said to me, there is no hope for you, young man, or any chance of getting rid of your sin, but by looking to Jesus. And he shouted, as I think only a primitive Methodist can, look, look, young man, look now. Well, Charles went home singing hallelujah, knowing that he was saved, and soon after became the renowned preacher known as C.H. Spurgeon of Britain, London's Metropolitan Tabernacle. Boys and girls, young people, do not only remember your Creator, but listen to him and look to him. He says so as he identifies himself as the highest authority. Look to me, he says, and be saved. These words are spoken by God, who not only identifies himself as the highest authority, but also as one who is trustworthy, as I want to consider this with you in the second place. Now, again, listen to how God identifies himself in verse 19, again, in the context of our text passage. He says, I have not spoken in secret in the dark places of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. You see, when God says, look to me and be saved, you may trust that this is true because God is trustworthy. He is trustworthy. Now, in contrast to that, how trustworthy are you and I? How trustworthy are you and I? We may say things and we may promise things as well and mean it, but have we always been able to keep our promises? The man in this world, yes, he has, she has much to say today, but of how much value is it? One day they tell you that coffee is good for you, and the next day they say, well, there's been a study made and that it is not good to drink that sort of liquid at all. Their research and their conclusions are therefore not trustworthy. The media keeps on churning out news and thoughts and various opinions, and much of it is fake, false, and untrustworthy. I believe it was about a week ago, I read an article in the National Post how CBC cannot be trusted with any of their news, as much of it is nothing but diatribe and far leftist ideology. In other words, untrustworthy. And how much are many government officials in cahoots with each other to deceive the public, yes, also the public of Southern or of Ontario, deceive the public to what deficit it got us into, particularly through the late government of Kathleen Wynne. Far from being trustworthy, wouldn't you say? How much is being planned in secret and in dark places by such terrible, wicked groups as Planned Parenthood? You cannot possibly trust them to say anything that is right. And there are people, this is the world that we, you and I, live in today. And it will get worse before it will get better if God does not intervene powerfully. But now listen to what God has to say. His credentials are trustworthy. What God has to say is not said in secret. It is not hush-hushed in dark places whatsoever. God does not spread any sort of fake news. And he who or she who seriously seeks the Lord will not seek him in vain. God speaks righteousness. God has no hidden agenda. He does not beat around the bush, you see. He says it as it is, and it is trustworthy. And besides, what he has declared is right, and it is beneficial for you and for me. It would be wrong for you, therefore, it would be wrong for me to ignore or to question even what God has to say when he says, I declare things that are right. Well then, what is right and what is trustworthy? When he says, here in our text, look to me and be saved. My friend, there is no beating around the bush with that word. These are straightforward. These are understandable. Oh, but here come the protests. Yes, but someone will say, yes, but isn't there more to getting saved? Isn't the Holy Spirit to work conviction of my sins first and foremost? Isn't he to stir up in me sorrow for sin? Isn't he to stir up in me a measure of repentance? My friend, God says, look to me and be saved. And he means it, you see. He means it. And you can trust what he says. Because you see, looking to him means not just, oh, yeah, he's there. Looking means calling on him, asking him for help, and looking to no one else, not yourself either, looking to no one else for help but to God. And when you do, you will begin to sense, you will begin to notice that he, God, will give you what you need because he knows best what you need. And you can trust him for it. Yes, he will give you the Holy Spirit to convict you of your sin. He will give you his word and his Holy Spirit in order to work up in you that conviction because of sin. He will work with his word and with his Holy Spirit so that there will be that sorrow for sin, that there will be that repentance because of sin. You just look to him. You trust in him. He will give you what you need. And this is why he says here in our text, look to me and be saved. Dear people, God is trustworthy, and you may count on him to save you. You may count that he is able to save you to the uttermost even. After all, God gave his one and only beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to bear the sins of his people by way of the sacrifice that he was held or that he accomplished on the cross. And prior to Jesus getting himself nailed on the cross, he, Jesus Christ, proved that God, his Father, was trustworthy. How? Well, when the Lord Jesus Christ agonized in the Garden of Gethsemane, and when he asked God the Father if it was possible to remove that cup of suffering, that cup of sacrifice away from him, he, Jesus Christ, the Son, placed his trust in his Father's will rather than his own will and said, "Not my will, but yours be done." Jesus Christ had full confidence in God, his Father. He knew him to be trustworthy, not only in his words, but trustworthy also in his ways. And dear people, if Jesus Christ considered his Father in heaven to be trustworthy, should you and I not also consider God trustworthy in his words and in his ways? His words are, "Look to me and be saved." Why? Because this is God's will, you see. It is his revealed will. It is as simple as that. "Look to me and be saved," spoken by God, who is trustworthy. Well, let's consider something in the third place. "Look to me and be saved," spoken by God, who is exclusive. God says here in our text, "For I am God and there is no other." What does God mean by saying there is no other? Well, God means for us to know that there is no other person, that there is no other way in order to be saved. That's basically what he means. And the Apostle Paul, he also repeated that. He reiterated this to idol worship Corinthians and told them that there is no other God but one. And in Acts chapter 4 and verse 2, we are told very clearly, "There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And so people, in concern for their salvation, in concern for your salvation, look to God. The problem is, and again, I go back to what I said before, but the problem is that many people, by nature, look in the wrong direction. They look to themselves to see what they could possibly do. They will try to, and also amongst church-going people, they will try to sin less. They will try to read their Bible more often. They will try to pray more often as well. They will try to go to church more often. They will try to do things better than what they did before. They will try to do some good works more than they did before as well. They will try to sacrifice a little bit more and think, "Well, maybe that is the way that I might be saved." And with such looking to themselves, therefore, and that is what they are doing, by looking to themselves, they hope, in fact, that God will look kindly upon them and say, "Oh, they're such nice people, I'll save them." That is not how God works. Because with such looking to themselves, they hope that these things will earn and acquire their salvation, and they are ignoring what God, through his Son, has done. Dear people, salvation is not by works in any way, shape, or form. But God says, "Look to me and be saved. Look exclusively to me, for I am God and there is no other." Some people, they look to other people or things or ceremonies in order to be saved. They look at their baptism, they look at their partaking of other sacrament, and that might save them. But the use of sacraments is not going to save you. It's not going to save you. Some people look at their parents. "Oh yes, my parents, they are believers, they're God-fearing parents, and so I think I will become saved too. Boys and girls, You cannot get to heaven on the coattails of your parents. Some people bank on their spouse's salvation, that they will therefore be saved. But dear man or woman, salvation does not come by osmosis. God says, look to me and be saved. And when God says, look to me, he means for us to know that he is the one and only one, that he is the exclusive one, you see, excluding every other person, excluding everything as well, whereby we think that we might be saved. And so, dear congregation, young and old, when God speaks, as he does here in our text, we must listen. Ignoring it amounts to disobedience, and if not repented of, it will lead to the very opposite of being saved, meaning that you will actually perish in your sin. And that is not God's pleasure, as he has told us. His pleasure is to see men and women, boys and girls, saved, and he means it. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn to me. Therefore, he cries out, be saved, be saved. This is also why he speaks and says here in our text yet, all you ends of the earth. All you ends of the earth. And what he has to say here in our text is said to people from all nations, tribes, and tongues. And praise God, I've seen also in the Fenway congregation those who are from other countries. We have a number of families from Colombia. We have a few people from Zambia as well. And whenever I go to Moose Factory, to the natives there, then I look in the eyes of people who are from a different tribe and a different tongue. But I know from this text that God speaks to the ends of the earth. And God says to each one personally, and perhaps you are not Dutch, and that's okay. But God says to you as well as he says to Dutch people, or from Dutch background, all you ends of the earth, look to me and be saved, for I am God and there is no other. And this is God speaking, my friend. And he speaks as one with the credentials of authority, as one, as we have heard, as one who is trustworthy, and as the exclusive one who calls you to be saved. Now the question is, do you need to be saved? If you have not yet looked to God, you see, you have not yet been connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you still need to be saved, you see. Therefore, hear God speaking to you also this hour. Look to him, and you will find everything you need in God and in God alone for your salvation. He will give you the Holy Spirit, who will, as it were, endear you to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will give you the faith that needs to connect you to the Lord Jesus Christ and him to you. He will give you the faith, even the arms of faith, to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. He will give the assurance of being saved as well, in order that you may enjoy your salvation. He will give you the sure hope of eternal life as well, and that in glory with him. And so I ask, will you look? Will you be saved? It does not matter what country you're from, what nation, what tribe, or what tongue you speak. It does not matter what mother tongue you had and that you now speak the language that we understand. It does not matter what end of the world you come from. Look to him and be saved. And you, dear brothers and sisters, who have looked to God and who know what it means to be saved, you need to keep looking to God when temptations get at you. You need to keep looking to God, you see, when Satan whispers in your ear, has God said? When he wants you to think that God said something entirely different, that God is not really trustworthy. Keep looking to God. Keep looking to Him who has saved you through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because trust His word. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You may therefore have the assurance that throughout this life of yours, by whatever way He takes you, even if He takes you through trials and through afflictions, even if those ways go through the valley of the shadow of death, you will find in Him everything that you need, you see. Therefore, keep looking to Him. And finally, to anyone here who is miserable, who perhaps feels miserable, let me say the same thing which Charles Haddon Spurgeon heard that led him to salvation. Look. Look, young man. Look, young lady. Look now. And may you too go home singing hallelujah. Let us close with thanksgiving. O Lord our God, we thank You that You have revealed in Your word that You are the authoritative one who has the right to speak and the right to be heard, that You are trustworthy, altogether trustworthy in everything You say and everything You do and in everything You have promised, and that You are the exclusive one. O Lord, to whom shall we go? For You alone have the words of eternal life. And so we pray that the message of this morning may also resonate in our hearts and in our lives, that we may speak with each other about it, that fathers and mothers may speak to their children, grandparents may speak to their grandchildren about these things that God has said. So we pray that You be with us now as we go our homeward way, and as we go back, come back again later on this day. Bless Brother Hutton as he will be bringing the word, and bless me as well as I'm called to go to St. George. And so keep us safe in our travels as well. And remember this consistory, this congregation, the brothers, elders, and deacons, that in due time You would give also to this congregation another man according to Your choosing to be the pastor and leader of the church. And so we pray for this, and we ask all of this because You are a merciful and a gracious God. In Jesus' name, amen.